Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you. And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles. You don't need that love.
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles. Don't ask what that was. KFI AM 640. That's right. That's who we are. iHeartRadio. Sunday morning. It is Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, and it is Sunday, December 17th, and that means we're what? Less than a week away from Christmas. Who's ready? Who's ready for Navidad? Oh boy, I'm not ready. Julie, good morning. Good to see you.
Hey there.
Are you ready for Christmas?
I think I am pretty ready. Got the tree up.
The tree is up and lit and everything?
Yeah.
But really what I meant is, have you bought my gift? That's what I meant by, are you ready for Christmas?
Well, I'm putting in extra hours this week just to get that going.
I knew I liked you from the moment I saw you.
What do you give something? What do you give someone that has absolutely nothing, though? It's my question.
I was like, wait a second. I'm kidding. Yeah, Brent, I have the same question for you, so I hope you've been busy.
Hey, I'm a Buddhist, so I don't have to follow any of this.
Oh, God, I should.
That's how I save money.
Yeah, why haven't I thought about that?
I like getting Buddhist gifts.
And Hector's like, and I'm a booty something.
You're absolutely correct.
Oh, boy. All right, good morning, everybody. So we've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about everything. We left here last Sunday, and I did say to my crew here, wait till the dominoes start to drop here in terms of the local news market with the sexual harassment claims. But I do want to kick off the show with the very latest on the Thomas Fire. Unfortunately, as you know, that stupid blaze is still just raging to the point that there are mandatory evacuations right now as we speak. Montecito, and if you don't know the Santa Barbara County area very well, Montecito is the fancy part, like the uber fancy. Like, this is where Oprah Winfrey has her sprawling mansion and a ton of other A-list celebrities. But more importantly, just, you know, families that, you know, done well and they live in Montecito. There's also a part of Santa Barbara, like Santa Barbara proper. It's also approaching Goleta. So they have a number of mandatory evacuations already in place. And the smoke is so bad. I was up in Carpinteria during the week to cover the fire. And everyone was walking around with a mask. And I get it. It was so bad. I could not believe from like Ventura City, driving that little bit up to Carpinteria. It's just, it's a massive drop in terms of air quality. And to the point that, for example, my friend who is a doctor, is a, you know, general practitioner, has a clinic in Santa Barbara, like proper, he and his family are going to have to come down here and they're going to stay with me because he's got to shut down the office. He says that his patients are canceling. Nobody wants to go outside. His staff, half his staff has a, you know, a fever. He caught bronchitis. I mean, it's a total mess. 40% containment, unfortunately. That's about it. It's good. I mean, it's better than the 15% I feel like I was talking about last Sunday. But 40% containment. But it's terrible because since then, I think it was Wednesday or so midweek that we found out about the death of a LA City, not LA City, a Cal Fire engineer. 32 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
His name, Brent?
Corey Iverson, I believe.
That's right. Corey Iverson, young guy. He is expecting his second baby.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that just broke my heart. Young man who has a little one at home and his wife, of course, getting the terrible news. I don't think that they've been very clear yet about how it happened, but excuse me, but the engineer had experience, but this is a very difficult blaze. And for example, when we were in Carpinteria, I was asking, you know, Cal Fire, well, what's the game plan in terms of fighting the blaze? It's the weirdest thing because you look in one direction, which would be eastbound, and you see all the, you know, the ridges, the mountaintops, and then you look west, and it's not that far, and the water is right there. And you think, that doesn't make sense. There's all that water. Why is there a fire right there, right? And so he said, well, we're trying to push it north because it's less populated, that area. And they've set some, you know, backfires to control the burn. Unfortunately, we had some crazy gusts, you know, up to like 55 miles per hour, if not more, I believe.
I'm looking at 65 miles an hour.
Right.
Miles per hour.
Yeah. I mean, and that is really strong. And so although it was a little cooler yesterday, I think everybody felt it, especially here in L.A., it doesn't matter. I mean, those winds are so, and it's what an obnoxious situation, because you want the Santa Anas, I think, if you live in Santa Barbara, in that you want all that ash to get wiped away. Because it's so awful, and it's just sitting there, and you're breathing it in. All those toxins. I mean, think about all the fuel that's burning and the homes that burn that are in the air. But it's disgusting. This is like, what, now the third largest fire in California history, the Thomas Fire.
Nuts. Like, since, what, 1932, I believe.
Yeah, and over, what is it, 700 homes have been decimated, which, think about all of those families and related families, you know, everyone affected around that. How it's going to affect our economy, how it's affecting, you know, tourism in Santa Barbara. Nobody wants to go there. I was covering a story here in Burbank, and this woman said, I'm a Santa Barbara refugee. I mean, people have to come down because you've got to stay away from all of that. And unfortunately, we also lost another fire official. This is Captain Stewart. Keith Stewart, right, with L.A. City Fire from, 24 years, right, on the job. Oh,
good looking cat. He looks like Richard Roundtree. He looks like Shaft. There's a great picture of him, like fire in the background.
Yeah. So our condolences to his family as well. And what we're told is that it was natural causes or some sorts. So he was off duty. But this is like a terrible time to lose anyone, especially in the firefighting family, because look, all of these firefighters are doing truly an incredible job and they are exhausted. I don't care what anybody says. This is exhausting. It's been going on for so long. You're in that, you know, cycle of bad air. You know, you can't go home yet. It's just terrible. It's such a scar for these guys and women. I'm so heartbroken. And I know that they're really hoping that the conditions will change so that finally we can kind of get a better hold on all of this. I know that the other fires, thankfully, have been contained. I know that the cause, by the way, is still not determined. Don't get me started.
I'm not going to wind you up on that one.
Do not, because it really upsets me.
But I know what will wind you up.
What?
Steve Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You called it. I have to admit it.
Wow.
You called it. I was trying to find the audio of you actually saying this. But this was months ago. Yes, you did.
Oh, I did?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was looking for it.
Okay.
Just for all those naysayers. Well, okay, so Nostradamus.
Well, thank you. Thank you very
How
much.
How did you come to this conclusion?
Sunday morning with Nostradamus. We're going to rebrand the show. Well, let me say this. I spent time there, and you know, Fox has put out their statement. And I will say this. It's a very big media company. And if something's actionable, they're going to take charge, and they're going to do their due diligence, which I believe is the case with most, you know, big corporations. I mean, you don't just terminate somebody because somebody makes an allegation. But let me also say this. I have a story of my own, and a lot of you have asked me. A lot of you have reached out, even on social media. And I will probably have that conversation on a more personal space, which will be my podcast, Elizabeth on Top. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
The Me Too movement with Elizabeth on Top. Hashtag wow.
Elizabeth on Top. Hashtag Me Too.
Wow. Okay. And on that note, we will be back with this crazy protest. We'll pick what we're going to talk about. Just, you got to tune in. It's going to be good. Just trust me. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa / Nostradamus. Julie Stewart. Take it away.
My hands on myself. Think I'll dust them off, put them back up on the shelf. Kiss my little baby girl is in me. Am I coming out of left field? Ooh, I'm a rebel, just a kickstart. I'm leaving in some time.
I want to go one show. This is my New Year's resolution.
Is this?
To keep you from singing with the music, at least.
Ooh,
see, it's.
Rebel,
this will never end.
It's never going to happen.
No.
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. It is 520 AM here on the West Coast, December 17th, not far from Christmas. Here we go. My social media, hit us up at Elizabeth Espinosa. I can't say my name. On Instagram, at Elizabeth Espinosa. And Twitter, at E_Espinosa. I am checking you guys out. And yes, to many of you who've asked, is your show live? Oh, yeah. I just dragged my bootay from being at the Manhattan Beach Country Club. Havana Nights, a little. I Instagrammed out.
Are you fancy today?
I know. Not going to lie. Not going to lie. I paid my $5 to get into the party.
She's still glittery, too.
I know. I have glitter on my eyes. And people are like, oh, my God, you're drunk. There's somebody, you're very funny on social. I'm like, I'm not drunk. I drink Coca-Cola because I know I have to get up early. And I just love to dance. So I went because I needed to do a little salsa dancing. So that was fun. All right. Happy Sunday. Hope that you guys are with me, awake, because Salma Hayek had some strong words to say. This has been a crazy last few weeks, you know, since I can't believe it's only been about 2 months since the whole Harvey Weinstein debacle and everybody coming out about the sexual harassment in the world. But what's wild is that, well, locally we had Steve Edwards, as I just mentioned before the break.
Gene Simmons
as well. But let me just say this about Steve Edwards. He was a very longtime staple here in Los Angeles, veteran TV anchor, morning show, Good Day LA. And it is an interesting time where some people are coming out making certain comments about it. So what I've decided to do is I'll share my experience and my real thoughts on the whole thing on my podcast. So download it on iTunes. It's Elizabeth on Top. We'll link it to our page, KFIAM640.com.
And maybe we'll come Facebook.
Back. Yeah, my Facebook. And maybe we'll come back and, you know, revisit it here as well and talk a little bit more. But I think right now I did want to focus on the op-ed in the New York Times that Salma Hayek wrote. You know, Salma Hayek is a beautiful woman. And I think I saw her talk about it briefly in an Instagram feed on her feed. Right. And I said, oh, my God, Salma Hayek, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But I guess the story is, you know, she didn't feel that after all these women, you know, including actress Ashley Judd being the first to come out with all these allegations against Harvey, right, the disgraced movie mogul. And now, you know, you realize, by the way, the accusers, it's something nearly like 70 women who come out against him alone, just him alone. And by the way, we've talked about Dustin Hoffman, the debacle of, you know, the downfall of, you know, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, and... But Salma Hayek's story in the New York Times, I mean, she really talks about how Harvey was her own monster and that there were so many instances of harassment, misconduct, sexual assault even. And she actually admits to feeling that she probably would have been raped by him, but because she was such good friends with George Clooney and a few of the other, like, you know, iconic players in the room, he probably thought twice about it, but did not stop him from giving her a really hard time. Oh, that sounds weird. Including requests. What? I don't get this. Hey, I want you to take a shower with me. I mean, I can't imagine a boss.
The way they wrote it was just disturbing.
Well, and it is disturbing.
And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Him take a shower.
Yeah, take a shower.
Give me a massage. No.
Right. Oral sex.
No.
Yeah.
Get naked with another woman.
Yeah, no. And no. It was like, I got to see that scene again. It's Frida. So, you know, basically she was trying to get, you know, this movie done. And she fought really hard because, as Brent just pointed out during the commercial break, the irony there is that, you know, Frida's about this Mexican artist who was defiant, who was, you know, such an independent force and didn't comply with what everyone else did, right? She was her own person. And of course, Weinstein comes and ruins that for Salma Hayek, who's like proud of her Mexican, you know, heritage and wants to tell the story and made her, you know, jump through a number of hoops with nearly impossible conditions, like asking her to rewrite the script because she wouldn't sleep with him. Right. Mm-hmm. So now he's pissed off. And you have to raise $10 million for financing overnight. And you got to cast 4 prominent actors in smaller roles overnight. She says she credits like a line of angels, if you will, to her rescue. Including Edward Norton. I thought that was pretty cool, who apparently rewrote the script for no credit. That's huge.
That is huge.
But it
takes a village.
It really does take a village. I mean, you know, crazy because Frida was nominated for 6 Academy Awards. including, you know, Salma for Best Actress.
How could she not, after going through all of this sort of stuff that Weinstein put her through?
Yeah, she should have got six.
I think that may have just seasoned her performance, because if she ever wanted to be Frida and sort of deal with the patriarchy, there we go.
Gosh, you're not kidding. I mean, she did take home 2 Oscars for Frida, but it's really terrible. I mean, this guy would ask, you know, I want to see another love scene with full frontal nudity.
Which they had to do.
I mean...
Those are the weirdest shoots, by the way. I've been on a couple of these love scenes, and there was one I remember distinctly where
Harvey, what's going on?
I was an art director, so, you know, I had to be around this sort of stuff. And all I remember that it was a closed set, and so I was locked out on the other side of the stage.
Okay.
And all I hear is the director yelling, "More ice. I need more ice."
What?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to go more into it, but...
More ice.
More ice. I had no idea what was going on in that room.
Oh, my God. Well, Gene Simmons, I want to mention as
God.
Facing a lawsuit alleging sexual battery during an interview.
Apparently, I'm really wondering if these rock stars are really going to start... Because can't you imagine all rock stars have done things to everybody?
They've all done it.
Yeah.
I agree. No, I totally agree. Do you have stories of your own, by the way, Julie?
No, not really. Maybe a few.
But see, I will say this. I also think that a lot of times you don't even, because we've also been conditioned that you think it's appropriate. You think it's okay, especially if it's someone higher than you in the scheme of things within the entertainment business. You kind of feel like, well, it's the boss, or not the boss, but someone who has more power and influence. I think that's the key word here. I mean, you see how Matt Lauer manipulated the people and the interns that he slept with, right? But what is really insane is, that I will say this. I know a lot of men have complained, like, I'm done if I have to hear one more story. And I'm like, yeah, but you have to understand that it takes a long time for a woman to really come forward, because people don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the as an example for our local situation with Steve Edwards, I'm getting feedback from some of my people in the business in TV that there is a certain person at Fox 11 right now, current employee, who is getting a barrage of hate mail because they think it was her who made the sexual, harassment allegations against Steve Edwards. And it's like, what is that about? I mean, women feel alone in this. I mean, Anita Hill, hello, nobody believed her. Clarence Thomas,
yeah,
sexual predator 101, right? No one believed her back then. She didn't have that energy behind her, that momentum. And so now I think women are starting to feel like, wait a second, I could say this, and it is my right to share that this was wrong, and really kind of revisit that. Because I think you bury that stuff, because you don't want to rock the boat. A lot of people, it's your career. You want to get there. You want to do things. And you know that you step on some toes, even though rightfully so you should when someone does something inappropriate to you. But it's tough. Listen, it's not easy being a woman in the business. That's for sure.
And now we're just finding this out, though.
No, I don't think we're just finding it out.
With all these things coming out, I had no idea it was so prevalent.
See, that's crazy to me. Wow. Like how that. Wow. Wow. I can't believe. And it's true. I hear this from a lot of men.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding? Really?
Well, I've never been in a place of power to abuse,
But you're right. But I think it's less of, you don't have as many women coming up and saying, let me slap you on the booty. Anyway,
be back. Well, yeah, we need to talk about that.
That's true. Maybe you want more. Okay, Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.
Knew he was a killer, first time that I saw him. Wonder how many girls he had left and left haunted. But if he's a ghost, then I can be a phantom.
We need cameras in here.
Oh, yeah. Shake it down. I'm a dancing machine lately. KFI AM 640, Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa and Taylor Swift there. You know that song? I forget.
No, I don't.
I'm not going to even try. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining me. I did want to mention, we've been talking about the sexual harassment allegations. Salma Hayek in her op-ed piece. I just have to end with this because I forgot to mention, this is really big. She says that she found comfort in telling her story because she went to war and she felt she won. But why do so many of us, quote, she says, as female artists, do we have to go to war to tell our stories when we have so much to offer? Until there is equality in our industry with men and women having the same value in every aspect of it, our community will continue to be fertile ground for predators. Wow. Drop the mic, man. That was pretty good. And by the way, New York Police Department's created a unit for all the sexual harassment claims. LAPD's done the same thing. LA City, the DA's office. And now Hollywood execs on Friday formed the Commission on Sexual Harassment and Advancing Equality in the Workplace, which will be chaired by none other than Anita Hill. Remember the name, Anita Hill? Just really quick, the pioneer on the subject, who in the early 90s came forward to accuse then U.S. Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas. Of sexual harassment. So there is that. And speaking of equality, this is why I bring it up. Did you see that transition? Wow, that's fancy.
That was pretty smooth.
That's pretty fancy. Last Sunday, as you know, the whole conversation with the President Trump announcing that he wants to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel, that's created a lot of tension, as you know. I'm back. It's created a lot of tension in the Middle East and here as well. For Palestinians and, of course, the Jewish community. And happy Hanukkah, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in. Random, I know. But there was a big protest. I went to UCLA, so I'm so used to seeing all those protests. For anything that happens, there's like a big, massive demonstration outside the federal building, right? Right there off of Wilshire and the 405. And I used to work at the Wilshire, at that federal building many moons ago. But there were about 200 protesters, and there were about 30 counter-protesters. And the demonstration was a Palestinian protest, and they were basically saying that they don't agree with President Trump's decision to name Jerusalem the capital of Israel. So, of course, it gets tense. Of course, the bigots come out. Of course, everyone decides to,
act like a fool.
Thank you, pretty much. And there was a kid. There was a little five-year-old kid there with the cousins. They were leaving, apparently, the protest. It was done. And they came across a family that was clearly a family that supports everything that President Trump does. And so we have audio because the cousin of the five-year-old, her big cousin, had her phone out. And she recorded, we don't have that recording of when supposedly an adult white man, we believe anyway, although it sounds like he has an Italian last name, if that's his last name. He makes the allegation, or he apparently calls the five-year-old a terrorist. He says, she looks like a terrorist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the cousin, you know, hears this and turns around and starts filming him, and it gets pretty ugly. Listen to this.
Can you say it on video, please? You called my five-year-old cousin a terrorist?
She looked like one.
How does she look like one?
I don't know.
Yo, you called my little cousin a terrorist?
It doesn't matter what age you are.
You're calling a five-year-old a terrorist. We're not saying anything wrong. We're not saying it wrong with you guys.
Okay, but this is America. We can say whatever we want.
We can say whatever we want, too.
You're
exercising. You don't call a five-year-old a terrorist.
Oh, hey, man, you're the one making...
Wow, that is so intense. I have to say, I watched this video, and all I could think of was, what a terrible example of an adult, and especially if you are the father of the girl who's talking back to the other girl, you are. Because the man who did admit to calling her a terrorist, you know, he's an adult, and it looks like it's his teenage daughter that's with him, and she's holding a sign as well about, you know, Trump this, Trump that, in support of Trump, right? And they're all screaming at these Palestinian supporters, and they're using, you know, expletives, and it gets really nasty. I obviously can't share that audio with you, but it's really bad. And I agree. However, I agree with the Trump supporters and that family when they said, we can say what we want. You absolutely can, but you have to ask yourself, is that the right thing to do? And I think what bothered me the most, and I was sharing this with somebody in our newsroom, I thought, who says this? So towards the end of all the different video clips that have been published from that incident, at the end, the dad and like the mom and the kid are like, woohoo, that's right, F you, F that. He doesn't even pronounce the hijab. He said he was making fun of, in fact, the father starts making fun of two women, and he's calling them the B word and you effing B and this and that, and making fun of their hijab, or, you know, the head coverings and the scarf, the headscarf. And they said, yeah, this is Trump style. Woohoo. Like, who says that?
Who brings a five-year-old to a protest?
Well, you know what? I disagree there. I actually...
Really?
I do, because...
And she's not even voting age.
Well, she's...
Neither was those guys' daughters, I don't think, either.
No, but five is definitely much
younger.
So
why do you want to politicize a kid? I mean, she should be, like, playing tiddlywinks or something. Don't bring her out there. It's too early.
Well, I understand, but I think you have to quantify or qualify it.
Does she even know what she was holding when she wanted to hold the sign?
Well, the sign... Yeah, I don't know. Her sign said something
like, it said, dump Trump.
Okay, her sign said,
the kid has no
Trump.
Idea what that was. And so that sort of made her a target.
Well, of course it made her a target, but I think that we are adults, right? And we're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be the voice of reason, especially for our younger people, and role model for them. And I think this is the problem that I have with our president, because his way of being, let's put it that way, allows everyone else to think it's okay to be completely disrespectful. Have no, I mean, I can disagree with you all day long, but why take it? Why make it personal? Why say your 5-year old looks like a terrorist? Why? Why would I do that? That's my own self hatred. It has nothing to do with the political aspects, the merits of the story, right? It has nothing to do with the merit of why you believe it's okay that Jerusalem or not becomes the capital. But why do you have to go? Why do you have to become a bigot and attack somebody? And so, of course, you know, this girl, look, I you have to understand this protest wasn't one where there's like a million people chanting and it's violent. I mean, I always see families outside the federal building. I mean, it's a nice little area. It's the west side. It's people just stand out there with their signs. And so I think both of them have to take this and realize that you both are entitled to say what you want. But I also think that you have to be moral and you have to do the right thing.
And keep the kids out of it.
I mean, keep the kid. Even if
she
it's your grandma,
shouldn't have been there.
You know,
that's look, my take.
Well, I mean, you have to understand for them, especially. I mean, this is a 5-year-old who, you know, in the Middle East, they don't have any option, right? Like they're in the middle of the firing squads and whatnot. So that's life.
That's true.
That's life, and so it's not a big deal, especially for some folks who may have lived there and now live here to go to a protest and bring a child, right? But ultimately, I think that again, the responsibility lies upon us as adults. To be the adult.
I don't want to be the bigger person.
It's not about being the bigger person. It's just about being civil. That's
I don't
want
to do that either.
Well, you're the problem.
I am.
You are part of the problem. I'm going to put you in the same little box as that guy who was screaming at that little 5-year-old saying that she looked like a terrorist. So I'm done. You're out of here.
Okay,
Let me be President Trump. You're fired. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Julie, what's going on, sister?
Yeah, dance to this.
Han Solo. Han Solo, where are you? Luke Skywalker. Princess Leia. The Force is with you. Do you feel it, you Jedi? I see you on the 405.
It's just a movie.
I see you on the 5 freeway. Stop ruining my moment, Brent.
I'm sorry. They even caused like a whole bunch of traffic and everything for a movie.
Hey. It's The Last Jedi. What's wrong with you?
And it got on my last nerves causing all this traffic.
Come on. May the Force be with you. You're like Darth Vader.
I am joining the Empire, man.
Yeah,
I am so tired of these Jedis.
You have been part of the Empire.
I have been.
Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. It is 5:50 a.m. And I will tell you, Star Wars, The Last Jedi, 2 hours and 33 minutes. I have not had a chance to see it, but I had to go out Friday because of the craziness, the chaos over in Burbank at the AMC theater there. Apparently, the nighttime showing, like, so you know how they launch at midnight on the East Coast? That's why you get a preview or a screening at 9 p.m. on Thursday, so you could watch it here, because technically, right, that's midnight on the East Coast, blah, 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 blah. So a lot of folks had gone, you know, especially the Star Wars diehards, they purchased their tickets in advance, and they want to watch it in the IMAX and have the
Idiots.
Whole experience. Take it easy.
Sorry.
Respecta.
All right.
No, but you know what? That's people's thing, right?
I guess so. I'd be the troll. I'd watch it, see all the people in line, and just scream out some sort of spoiler.
Yeah, you'd be that
and
annoying.
Run.
You'd be that annoying guy. Yeah. And they would kill you. Just
hey,
so you
I'd
know.
Save them $20 and yeah. 2.5 hours
of
their
Simpsons
life.
With Homer.
So what was that?
Huh?
Remind me of an episode of The Simpsons where Homer just spoils the entire plot of one of the movies to the audience.
Oh.
I would pull a Homer.
You just sounded like Homer for a second. I was like, what's going on here? But what's so crazy is, just so you guys know, there was chaos to the point where the police had to be called in.
Good.
And no, stop. It was terrible because what is wrong with our, you know, corporations? They should have known that this was going to be like a big audience. And apparently the movie started and the dialogue track didn't work. So for 20 minutes, people are like, what's going on? We can't hear anything. They're going out to ask, you know, the management. And, you know, if you go to a movie theater these days, everybody's 12 that works there. No one knows what to do. So at one point, one of the employees even snapped. And it's all on Twitter, man. In fact, I think I reposted. This one employee literally says, if you want to get the F out of here, then you get the F out of here, you B, to people who were complaining or not even complaining, just saying, hey, I paid money to watch a movie. It should be rolling. It should be working. Anyway, total craziness. But we did finally get a statement from AMC, like, you know, higher ups. And they're saying that, you know, they are going to figure out to see how this unforeseen technical mistake could have happened. But I think it's terrible. They need stormtroopers in there because it was getting pretty bad.
I don't know what's worse, Star Wars fans or Rick and Morty fans.
No, you're mean.
I am kind of salty right now.
You are so Debbie Downer this morning. Hey, Dwayne Johnson, my ex-boyfriend, The Rock. Yes. Having another baby without me? Whatever.
What?
Julie, how dare he?
His loss.
That is strange.
It is his loss. I told him. I said, we could have twins. I'm just saying. They'd be cute babies. He has, he's received a star. Look at that. Congratulations. And he's got a great story. You know, he's Hawaiian and he, you know, grew up, tough times, but it is really a great example of, you know, motivation, inspiration, and hot body. Okay.
Doesn't he want to run for president?
He does. He wants to run for president.
Yeah.
That's
he needs
right.
to be
Is that
stopped.
What he told you in secret?
You know what? I think he should do it. Come
I don't
on.
Think he should. Might as well. Yeah. Anybody
Thank
can.
You, Julie. The wisest words in the morning. Thank you. Absolutely. Let's go to, what else?
Oh, there's one thing I wanted to say. There was this great story about a whale being freed in Newport Beach.
That's right.
And what I didn't know and what nobody really knows is that if you see a whale in trouble, there's a number that you can call.
Are you serious? There's a hotline?
1-877-SOS-WHALE.
Wow.
That's a whale of a story.
Can you believe that?
Wow. See what I did there? It's crazy.
The more you know.
The more you know. Wow. That's okay. All right. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Santa Monica City Council, by the way, is voting to move peer concerts to fall. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So apparently, you know how they've got those really cool. Have you guys ever been, Julie? Or
I've tried to go to one.
I'm always scared that there's just too many people.
I'm always afraid the pier's going to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you too? I think the same way. Yeah.
You guys live in such fear. I've never been to concerts
all the time, but that's a mess.
I could care less because I figure I'll be wasted. I'll be like, woohoo.
You're the one that's going to fall off the pier.
I'm like, yeah. We're in the water. Woo. Is that part of the show? Guys, everybody dead.
Elizabeth,
I mean?
On the bottom.
So
yep.
what's
the
changing wow. the time going to do? Or, you know, the time of year?
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. I don't know. They said that because of the increase in the size of the crowds and it's
funding.
And it's lent to, you know, the whole thing with, you know, parking and security concerns. So that's interesting. But who knows? I mean, I think it's cold, though. Wait a minute. Fall is actually still, there's no such thing as fall, really.
Yeah.
Right? It's actually warmer generally, like in September, if anything, October.
So I guess that's good because I think at one point I heard they were just going to cancel them altogether.
No, see, that would be terrible. They definitely need to have them because it is very, very cool to be out there. I've never done it, but I drive by when they have concerts, but I'm just too lazy to stand in that crowd. I'm like, nah.
Too many people.
I don't do people. Just sorry. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, calendar section. What are we doing? It's Christmas next Sunday.
It's Christmas next Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, but for us Latinos, we love to do the 24th. We're all about the 24th. Noche buena. We do the 24th.
So what do you do
night.
The day afterwards?
No, really, nothing. Not
okay.
much.
All right.
You know?
My family celebrates big time on Christmas Eve.
See? Yeah. Huh. Okay. Julie's a Latina, too. You didn't know
yeah.
that. Julie Slater. Slater, yes. Or something like that. All right. So Candytopia, I've seen a number of these pop-up pictures, if you will. It's a pop-up museum. And it's all about candy. And my girlfriend just went. She loved it. She says it's like, you know, it's very narcissistic because all it is a space for you to take pictures of yourself with candy. And you get a sugar high. So if you're diabetic, good luck with that. But that sounds like it would be fun to go check it out.
They need like a marshmallow diving pool or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, they have that. Funny you would say that.
I'm there.
Look at you.
I'm there.
You stepped up right to it. Is this the only thing we have on our calendar section?
That's the only thing we have because it's Christmas Eve next.
Everybody's. Well, I will say this. The malls have been crazy. Oh, my gosh. I drove past one yesterday, and it was, the llama, I think, and the parking lot. I was like, wow. So you still have people buying stuff online, but you still have folks who need to go and touch it and grab it and pick it up and go from there.
Speaking of which, I did put a list of, believe it or not, grocery stores that are going to be open on December 24th, on Christmas Eve.
Where'd you put it?
It's on our website.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so please go to that, KFIAM640.com.
Keyword Sunday.
That's right. And I'll post a picture right now on Instagram at Elizabeth Espinosa, also Twitter at @E_Espinosa. I also wanted to do year-end shout-outs to all of our lovely guests. So we're going to just name a few right now before we go to Jesus Christ here in a few minutes. But we want to thank Spanky Valentine. You know, let's play some Last Jedi music underneath this because I know it will really piss off Brian, which is great. Because you have been, we thank you. We thank our guests, Matthew Needleman, principal of Melrose. We want to thank Dr. Sandra Morgan, Jarek 1-20. That's his name, 1-20?
Derek the wrestler.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Rita Rudner. We love her, right?
Love her.
Destiny Malibu.
Council member Robert Aranga.
That's right. Scott Schultz, Brand Burkhart from Busted. And Dudley Danoff. Chef Nick Liberato, violinist Rachel Barton Pine, Wendy Hammers, Jack Humphrey, Krista Parkinson,
my girl,
KP,
your girl.
That's right. David Damian Figueroa. Why do I say that? Figueroa. It's Figueroa. Georgina Kelman, Terry Henry, Michael Lowenstein, Emily Marin, Dr. Ranjay Rostogi over at UCLA. They do an incredible job. And Deb
Kahukele
and Stuart Takahara.
That isn't even everybody. We've had so many people on. We'll try to get ready to get,
let's get more
through
folks.
The list. Yeah.
I do want to give a special shout out to my mom's cardiologist. So thank you guys. She's back home. A lot of you sent some beautiful notes. So thank you. I love you so much. But Dr. Martin Cadeiras, UCLA cardiology, an incredible
doctor. This music is just
doctor.
Ominous.
This is good. This is called
yeah,
The Force.
Yeah, you like this because it drives me nuts.
That's right.
Fair enough.
So I will share my story about the Me Too movement and my experience at Fox 11. And that will be on my podcast. Okay, so I'll publish it soon. I'll let you know. It is Elizabeth on Top. Download it on iTunes. And in the meantime, my friends, next week, it's Christmas. Be good. Jesus and Santa are watching. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Peace out. Just, he's